Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Stephen Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land Show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how real estate agents get listings using our data and bulk mail product called data2doorstep.com, the number two.
Cool.
Jill, it sounds profitable.
It is.
That's a joke because I know it is for us and them.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, I'm not sure you're talking about.
Let's tell it like it is in this episode as always. But before we get started, let's take a question from a caller.
Okay. Josh from Tampa called in and asked, what's the difference between a grant deed and a warranty deed?
Ah, the old deed type question.
I like this. He's obviously getting into it.
Where's he from?
And learning this. He's from Tampa.
I wonder why he's out in Tampa with a grant deed, because grant deeds are usually, you see him in California and Nevada and out west.
Maybe he does like we do and he buys property without seeing it.
Oh, you can buy property in a different state.
Oh my goodness. Really? What a cost.
Can you flip houses in a different state?
I bet you could.
You could, but
it's harder.
Yeah.
You kind of got to see that.
Got to have people.
That's true.
Okay, so here's the definition. I'm going to actually one up it. We're going to talk about a grant deed, a warranty deed, and a special warranty deed. A grant deed implies two guarantees. Actually, if you sign it, it's not an implication. You are guaranteeing this as the seller. One, that the property hasn't been sold to anybody else. It seems basic, but you know, it's not appropriate to sell your property to two people.
That's kind of funny. Thank you for clarifying, Steven. I really wasn't sure. I was just going to say, well, you know, one of them might not use it. So I just, you know, I just kind of fear. And if they both pull up at the same time with their RV, I fear they'll just make friends. No.
You know, that's the F word, fraudulent.
Yes, it is.
So that's one of the things you're guaranteeing when you sign a grant deed. And the second one is that you're guaranteeing that the property's not burdened by any encumbrances. Apart from those that the seller already, you know, have disclosed. What the hell are encumbrances?
I don't know.
Oh, back taxes, liens and encumbrances. You know,
I know.
That's associated with the property that might be bad.
Exactly.
Special uses, things that come, not bad, but just stuff that's associated with the property.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a grant deed. A warranty deed implies perfect chain of title for the life of the property. So you as a seller are signing a document that says all the way back till the homestead days when the country was created, every single person that owned this property, they conveyed it properly to the next person and the next person until finally you got it and then you're selling it to your buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good idea or a bad idea, Jill?
To guarantee the 25 people before me, not really something I like to do.
I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that most times either.
Right.
So, warranty deed is best thing for a buyer and maybe not the best thing for a seller. I'm happy to guarantee the stuff that I'm responsible for. I can, you know, let's say I could just guarantee all the stuff that's associated with the property since the time I've owned it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real happy to do that.
How do you do that?
Guess what? That's called a special warranty deed.
Thank you.
All kidding aside, warranty deeds, you're really guaranteeing a lot. And
Do your homework.
You know, if you're going to do a warranty deed, get title insurance. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our rule.
Right.
If it's just a tiny property you're selling for $1,000, can you guarantee it? And then, I don't know, you could have them sign a release, but don't get into all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just do a special warranty deed in general as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
And do a grant deed in the states that require it. The two that I know of for sure are California and Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
You're closer to the front lines. So.
Same for me.
All right.
Thank you.
I think that answers the question.
I think that was great.
Good. We directly answered a question for once.
Wow.
Without any stories.
Yeah, that's right. Move on. Quick. Move on. Go. Go. Don't talk about it anymore.
And adjectives and stories and silliness.
I love it. Okay. Why tons of real estate agents get listings using our data product?
I think it's, you know, this is an unintended consequence of us releasing this data product.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would just be really for investors. But we've got there are so many people who are licensed agents that are using it to get listings now that we're about to release a new product. What do we call it? The product? Broker Pro or Agent Pro or something?
Investor or have you not- Pro. We have Investor Pro, but we haven't done the Broker and Agent Pro is being planned.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, what we do when we buy property, we just sell it. We send out a ton of mailers after doing a very extensive data scrub. Mm-hmm. We pull the data out, pull the property owners out of a big data set in any given county. We decide for a lot of reasons why they might be logical sellers. And we send them a letter to see if they want to sell their property. And it turns out a lot of them do. Because we've been doing this for decades. Well, agents have figured this out where they can send a different type of letter with the same type of data to people who are showing the signs that they might not want their property. And they're getting listings.
Mm-hmm. So they get it.
Brokers and agents are always looking for new ways to get listings, and this is a good new one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it free? No. But you have to, you know, nothing's free.
Nothing's free. Driving for dollars isn't free. You think it's free? It's not free. Right. I mean, how many days could you spend doing that versus canvassing the whole area at once and then letting them come back to you, which is really what it is.
Right.
Is targeting, like you want to hit X neighborhood, which it seems like that's what they want to do. They could walk around and have put flyers on a door or have people put flyers on a door. We've all seen that. I think it still goes on. Or, send a letter.
Yeah.
Let me think.
That's a good time to talk about leverage. You want to leverage your time and leverage the tools that you're at your disposal. Use some great data. You get a great cheap printer, both of which we provide in datatodoorstep.com and get it in the mail so that those sellers find you, not so you have to go out and find the sellers all the time. And the same thing goes with getting a listing, I guess. We're getting reports back that it's pretty profitable.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my thoughts on this whole thing. The bottom line is, we've been using this phrase now a couple times. I even just blasted it out to social media today about it's not 1979 anymore, folks. And so why are we still, so here's my question, as a realtor, okay, say I'm a realtor, why am I still using the same ways in 1979, like manning the phone on the weekend and things, right? Why are we still using those old ways? And I have here's my other question.
Because it doesn't cost anything.
But it does.
I agree. It does, but you're not taking money right out of your pocket today. But it's costing you so much in the long run. It's
right.
Silly.
I'm not reaching as many people as I could. Yeah. And I'm losing because of that. Right. So here's my other thing. I gotta ask this question, and I'm throwing this out yet at you because we have not even talked about this. What the heck are we still doing open houses for?
Oh my gosh. I couldn't agree more.
I really have to. I think that's a 1979 thing too. I would love to know how long we have been holding open houses. I bet it's since the 50s.
Well, I read stats on that recently, and they support exactly what you're saying. I'll try to get an exact stat during the show while you're talking about something else, but the numbers are staggering. You do not sell property at an open house, period.
It's the craziest thing.
You just don't.
You got to price it right and reach everybody.
There's a reason that experienced realtors and brokers and stuff, they don't hold open houses. The newest person in the office holds an open house for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that because it's ineffective.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my other thing. Okay, the car company's figured it out. Do you still get in your car when you want to buy a car and drive to a car lot and see what the used cars are and pick from that?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
You do it online. You search, you get the pictures, you find the miles and all stuff. And then when you're at the very bitter end, now you're serious about it. Now you're going to go check it out and drive it and all that good stuff. Why is the houses and the realty, why are some people so far behind on that one?
Right. Hey, since you brought up cars, you know how much I love cars.
Yes.
I read a study recently, well, maybe a year ago, about why people buy cars, you know? Oh. So there's the obvious stuff at the top. Well, my old one broke.
Right.
You know, it's just too much. I can't get another one. Mm-hmm. My lease is up, regular stuff.
Right.
But the non-regular stuff at the top of the list is, I rented a car and loved it. So,
oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was ready for you to get a dad jab at me.
No.
I was ready for you to go. It's all emotion, and Jill, you're the classic example. That's what I was ready for. I'm like, here it comes.
I'm gonna rethink this.
I'm sitting here going, it's gonna be about me.
No, I'm serious.
Impulse buy.
So no, you rent a car and you love it, and you go buy one or you lease one or whatever. And then
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was surprised about that too.
I can tell you something funny.
Another reason is that because that's just the brand you buy. A lot of buyers are like that. Like, I'm a Toyota person, or I'm a Chevy person.
That's funny.
Which I didn't think that existed, but
I don't think that. Well,
now you got me thinking about making fun of you, and it's
oh my goodness,
stuff's running through my head.
Here's something really Jill's good.
Here's some stuff about Jill.
All right. Uh-oh.
Like, and I think a lot of women are like this. She has a very acute sense of color. everything.
Yep.
Color of clothes, shoes, cars, houses, paint. I mean,
that's
the
true.
The whole thing.
That's very true.
I really think that's a biological female thing.
It probably is. That's true.
I'm not making fun of you. I like it.
Do you want
to
hear something?
Then I don't have to do it.
The last car that I rented, you're going to love this. When you said that.
Dallas recently?
Yes, you said that statistic. I'm like, well, that certainly didn't happen with me.
What'd you rent?
Oh my gosh. It was one of those. I was in Dallas visiting a friend, 24 hours in and out. And so anyway, I just went with whatever car, and I walked out and I said, you gotta be kidding me.
No.
And I almost went back to switch it, but I didn't want to wait in line. So I said, you know what? It's 24 hours. I can deal with it. Oh my, and I hope I don't offend anyone.
No, I'm sure you will.
Oh, I will. It was a Mazda sport van. Did you know they made those?
A minivan?
Yes. But it was a shrunken down Mazda 5 sport van is what they called it. I'm like, what is
okay,
this?
Okay, so for the record, we're not busting on Mazda.
No.
But we are busting on little sport vans.
Like, what was that? It was a...
Were there seats for like 20 people?
6 people. There were 3 rows. I looked back. And when you walk up to it, it's not that big. And I'm looking back going, there's 3 rows.
That's why people buy those cars.
I was cracking up.
I read a
up.
Thing about that. You know, some people have a legitimate need to put 6 people in their car a lot.
Right. For an efficient car, and it's a name that you know, for everybody who has their Mazda and loves it.
Jill and I.
Great, but not me.
Both of us, without disclosing disclosing brands, have cars that have no functional backseat.
Correct. I can barely put my purse there.
That has come in handy more times than I can tell you. Like, hey, can you? No.
I can take one.
That's it. Yeah.
Sorry. It's so nice.
Can you take me to the airport? Yeah, but as long as you don't have any luggage, yes. Oh, but I have 2 bags. Yeah, see? Call somebody.
Yeah, can't help you. That's what Uber's for. You know, it's funny.
How did this get on cars?
Well, because you brought up... Well, the open house. Oh, I brought up cars. So, and you talked about the way people.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That made me think of that rental.
Some brands. Oh, my gosh. If you decide to buy a car, you buy it online and they just drive it to your driveway.
I personally like that option.
I promised myself about 8 years ago, I would never walk into a dealership for any reason ever, ever again. And I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is this world coming to where. I mean, this is a huge worldwide industry where we have this. There's this thing called the internet, but dealerships still mark the cars up, and then you walk in there and get high pressure sale. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
If anybody does understand that, please, I'd love to hear from you.
You know, I'm trying to remember the last time I bought a car. It's been a long time, because that was the last time I bought a new car that I went to a dealer. Every other time I do private party, I'm not messing around, and I'm so happy with private party transactions.
We're really lucky too. We have some of our best friends. We have my attorney has a neighbor who has a used car dealer in Phoenix, and we never go to his dealership ever, but if you can call the guy, I swear, and you can put in an order. Just like we do with land.
With a price range,
a year of the car, you know, not so much color specific, which Jill doesn't excite Jill, but it excites me. And then I say, look, it's got to be perfect, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care if you call me in 3 months. This is my order.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I had it all checked out. This is perfect. And I got a smoking deal. And how's this for service? He says, I'm marking this thing up $500. That's what I make on every deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I believe him. He has established my trust. I bought all of our kids have gotten cars from him.
Mm-hmm.
We've purchased 5-8 cars from him over the years.
Cool.
That's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so back to this. Back to the topic. Okay, here's what I was going to say.
This was supposed to be just about real estate. Every time we sit down to do a show, Jill and I, we say, look, we have to keep our silliness to a minimum.
Hey, the last show was pretty good. All right. Okay, so here's what I want to say about this. Why they are getting listings. And I think one of the reasons is I have two things. Well, one is they've realized it's a way to get there first.
That's it, Jill. You nailed it. Get there first. Mm-hmm. Write this down.
Oh, me?
No. The takeaway from this show is get there first. If it's in the MLS, you didn't get there first. Somebody else did.
Mm-hmm.
If it's on Craigslist, mm-mm.
All right.
If a broker's calling, you're all excited about a deal, mm-mm. You didn't get there first.
You didn't get there first.
Especially if you're new. These are traps.
And that's what people
do. And their laziness.
That's why I think they go door to door with their business cards. They're trying to get there first. They're trying to talk to the seller before the seller even realizes they want to sell,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And that's is a better way.
I'm really glad you brought that up. Really glad, actually. We did a whole talk. That was the title of the talk, Get There First.
I know. I kind of used your line. I like your line. I'm using that a lot.
Good.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a really great way to describe what we do. So
right.
I appreciate that.
All right. What was your second point?
Well, it was kind of fluffy. I didn't like it. Now I crossed it off.
No, well, no, I brought it up. You got to say it. Fluffy. Fluffy's your middle name.
Well, what's interesting is I think that they're a little worried that they should keep the secret, but they don't need to keep it secret. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. I get that all the time. You know what? We're actually two shows from now.
Mm-hmm.
That is the topic.
Oh, it's a secret. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, but it's not called that.
No.
You know what the show's, I don't even know the title, but the gist of it is this. Here's how many actual properties are out there.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Yeah.
No one, you don't need to worry about this.
I stopped worrying about that. That I did, like everybody, it's very healthy, normal, and natural to say, you know what? I'm going to keep this thing a secret.
Totally.
And man, I'm telling you, there's enough real estate out there.
Mm-hmm. There's so many things you want to keep secret. Like, oh, I have this great investor. I'm not going to share him. Or I have this in here, I'm not going to share them. Mm-mm. Share it. Everybody
right.
wins. Because then good stuff just comes back. Your network gets bigger and bigger and bigger the more you share. And that's the best turnout.
There's a lot of things on the internet over the last couple of years about marketing that says exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
The more you share, the more you give away, the more people that you're talking to or that everybody's in a group. You know, that was one of the decisions about starting Land Academy, because mm-hmm. we could very easily not do any of this.
Mm-hmm.
We could just do what we did for years and years,
mm-hmm.
which we do every day, is just buy and sell real estate.
Mm-hmm. And be doing it from anywhere around the world and just having a nice time. But no.
Whose idea was this, really?
Yours.
Was it? I can't remember.
I don't know. You know what, Stephen? In all sincerity, it happened to us. I don't think we decided we were doing it all along.
Everybody
anyway.
Was asking us for it.
That's it. It just kind of happened. It just kind of mm-hmm. went, all right, hold on, everybody. We want to help everybody. So here's how we're going to do it.
It all started because I said, all right, everyone's asking for this. And we're doing all this one-off education as a favor and stuff. So finally, we just put it all in one thing, one program.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we've ever paid a dollar for advertising, Jill. I'm not joking. Anyway, by the time this airs, I mean, we may in the future, but I'm trying to think if we've ever spent a dollar in marketing. That's pretty amazing.
It really is. It's all been, and I love it. It's
me too.
People talk about organic and word of mouth and growing. That's pretty much all we've done.
Right.
And it's awesome.
If you're a real estate agent, consider sending out direct mail to get listings. And then you can join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in property investment and in life. I don't understand the dealership model.
Right? I know. There's so many things that we've transitioned, and there's just some things we're hanging on to that are silly.
I think that I think it's driven by the manufacturers. They don't want the actual responsibility of driving traffic to a website and going through all that. There's something about a dealership, and not too many dealers, but like a controlled dealers that really benefits the manufacturer.
I think it'd be the coolest thing ever if I could search for a used vehicle online,
mm-hmm.
negotiate it online, and have it delivered to my driveway.
I do too, and I think most people probably need to, especially used car, you got to drive it. So I watched a documentary a long time ago about Henry Ford. So it used to be that they would, because they had a delivery problem. So they would, what they would do is they'd manufacture the cars in Detroit. This is back in the Model T days. And they would deliver like 3,000 to Los Angeles. And they would put them in a car lot. You know, well, everybody was showing up at the car lot to take delivery on these things. And it ended up being they needed somebody to help them. And it just it developed into a, it was a shipping thing.
Okay.
But I don't think that's, that we don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, I still think there's a, but like for like my last car, I didn't need to drive. I didn't need to drive the car as long as it.
I noticed that.
So, yeah. Because
I did it for you.
I know you did. I kind of just stood there and chatted and said, yep, that's a pretty color. I want that one.
Steve the assistant. I'm Jill's assistant.
No, you're not. I love it.
Let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.